Good morning. This week, we have a very interesting week in the news. And I don't know if you are paying attention to what the news say, but in Detroit, something interesting happened. And maybe some of you are aware. And this news kind of like called my attention, because it was in reference to the unveiling of a statue in Detroit. It's a 9-foot bronze statue with the face of the goat and the body of the human being. And that statue is surrounded by two children, one boy and one girl to every side. So it was very interesting, because at the unveil, they did it like around 11:30 p.m. Only a select group of people was invited to assist to this presentation. And two men go to the stage and bring down the cloth, the black one. And after they unveil the statue, they kissed in front of the congregation, and they were celebrating the worship to Satan. And that was a little interesting to me, because I know people, you are free to worship whatever you want. And I'm pretty sure it's people around the world in different places who worship Satan. But that tells me that these groups are growing in numbers, number one. And number two, they want a more public view. They don't want to be in the fringes. They don't want to be hiding. They want to be in open view. They are not hiding. And they want to present you with an alternative to worship. You know, if you don't want to worship God, hey, you are welcome to come here and worship Satan. So that was interesting to me. You can look for this news. It's everywhere in the internet, and you will find more information about that. That gives us an idea of how the condition of the nation is moving and the directions that we are taking, right? Things are changing, and things are getting, it seems like, worse. People is moving in different directions. Today, the passage that Gabriela was reading for us is found in Revelation 15. Please open your Bibles in the book of Revelation, because I have our beginning is in there, in Revelation 15. Revelation 15 is a very short chapter, and let me explain you something before we move into the reading. Between chapter 12 and chapter 14, you find the description in the Bible and how the enemy will use all his power to persecute and attack all these people who don't worship him. In chapter 14, you have like a small interlude where God is presenting an answer to these attacks from the enemy. And this answer is compressed in the three angels' message found in Revelation 14. Then you move into Revelation 15. And Revelation 15 is the prelude to the last plagues. You know, and when people study prophecy, they always kind of like wonder about the last plagues and how they will affect and the planet and all these things. Are the last plagues literal or are symbolic? And you had many interpretations. But before we get in there, I want you to come with me to chapter 15, because this is the beginning of the final events, pretty much. So the Bible says here, "Then I saw another sign in heaven." This is John describing what he's seeing, right? "Great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire." Now, you find the same symbol in chapter 14. But instead of being with fire, it's only a sea of glass. But in this case, it seems like this sea of glass is on fire. "And those who had the victory over the beast and over his image and over the mark and over the number of his name is standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God, and they sing the son of Moses, the servant of God, and the Son of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things, I looked, and behold, the temple, the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven, was open, and out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen, and having their chests girdled with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who live forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were complete. And that's how Revelation 15 ends. So it's a lot of things that I want you to pay attention in here. Number one, it's a reference to a group of people that is singing, right? What they are singing? Do you remember? All right, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Now, in the Bible, you find a reference to that in the book of Exodus. So please go with me to Exodus 14. And you probably remember clearly what the Bible is saying about this. What is the son of Moses? What is the son of the Lamb? They are two different sons, actually. One of the sons that is making reference is the one here found in Exodus, and is in reference to Israel after they left Egypt. How God freed Israel from Egypt? How He did it? Well, with very power, with mighty hand, but it was actually after the 10 plagues that He delivered upon Egypt. Because the king of Egypt was upset to retain and keep his slaves. He didn't want them to go and worship this new god. In fact, the pharaohs in Egypt, they considered themselves gods, so he didn't acknowledge this new god that they were presenting to him. So after the struggle of the 10 plagues, finally, reluctantly, he let the people go. But the day that he let them go, something happened. And that's what you find here in Exodus 14. And let's start in verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servant was turned against the people. And they say, why have we done this? That's a good question, right? Why we allow these slaves to go? Continue reading with me. And they say, why we have done this, and why we have let Israel go from serving us? So they didn't completely remember that a few days ago they were struggling with pestilence and very strange phenomena, and even nature, it seems that it was against them, to the point that they lost their firstborn children in Egypt. So it was a very painful trial that they get through. But despite all that, it seems that they get angry because they let the people of Israel go into the desert. So continue. So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots, and he and all the chariots of Egypt with captains of every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Now that's the story. That's the preamble for the son of Moses. The king of Egypt is angry because his slaves have finally are going out, and he is not ready to give up his slaves, so he starts persecuting them to the point that they finally catch them in front of the Red Sea. You remember that part of the story, right? And Israel realized there's no way to go back because their enemies are behind us, and there's no way to go forward because it's the sea. Unless you can walk over water, and there's no way to go across over this big sea. And they start complaining and arguing with Moses. And you find that in verse 11. For instance, they say there, then they say to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, had you taken us away to die in the wilderness? It's kind of like a joke right there, right? Very sarcastic answer. Oh, we didn't have enough cemeteries in there that you prefer to bring us here and kill us there? And because they realize that unless God does something amazing, they will get killed. That was the intention of Pharaoh and his soldiers. They were persecuting them, and they were ready to punish these people who had disobeyed them, and they were really, really angry with all the intentions. So God finally answered to Moses. Moses is praying, and God said, why are you crying to me? Why are you talking to me? Extend your rod in front of the sea, and that's what he does. And the sea, opened in two and allowed them to get through the sea. Pharaoh and his soldiers follow that. You find that in the same chapter 14. And after Israel is safe in the other side, the seed come back and destroy Israel enemies. As a result of this amazing act of God, you know, liberating Israel from the slavery and from his enemies and this important victory, they all start worshiping, singing songs to God. Right? It's an act of worship that they feel so excited, so happy that they don't have other answer than to sing. So, how you do when you are really happy? When something really, really amazing happened to you? What you do? Oh, okay, you celebrate. How do you do celebrations at home? You do your dancing. I do my dancing. Very silly, I don't do it. I use a small example here so you can see. But I do my dancing at home when I'm with my family, when something really, really happened, amazing happened to me. You know, because God is amazing, and he gets you excited, and he gets you answers when you need it the most. And this is the case. They are so excited, they are so happy that they burst in song. They start singing and worshiping God for the amazing deliverance, for being such a good father, for being such a protector, for being an amazing friend. So all these things you found here in Exodus 15. Now, with that in mind, I want you to go back and picture Revelation 15. In Revelation 15, now you have a similar situation, right? You had a group of people. They are in the sea of glass. But instead of being celebrating after the victory, they are celebrating before the victory. Because remember, the last plagues had been poured over earth yet. So that's a major difference between these two events. Another major difference that you will find between Egypt and the one presented in Revelation is that in Revelation you had only 7 plagues. But in Egypt you had how many? 10. So it's a little difference in there. Now, the people that is presented in Revelation 15 is a very interesting group for several reasons. Number one, all of them had harps. You know, have you ever seen a person play a harp? How easy is to play a harp? Quite complicated instrument to play, right? For the one, I ask musicians about that, and it's a very delicate instrument, and it's difficult to do because you need to have a good agility in your fingers to be able to play the harp. Now, the Bible mentioned that in Revelation 15, this group of people, they are seeing the things that are happening. Among the things that are happening, they see the sanctuary being open in heaven. Now, when the sanctuary was open in earth, because remember, these two elements are correlated. The one that is in heaven was the model for the things that happen here on earth. So in earth, when the people in Israel get together and worship, they had a moment when they opened the sanctuary, right? When that happened? Remember? In the Day of Atonement and for a brief moment. Right? Because God has said that no one will see me and live to tell the story. You remember that part? And that was the reason why the most holy place was always covered with a curtain. Protected there, right? So people outside the sanctuary, they were never able to see exactly what was happening in there. It's like a veil of secrecy that they were having in there. So in this act presented here in Revelation 15, something interesting happened. The temple is open to the view of all the people that is outside. And that's quite unique. Even in the Old Testament, you don't find stories like that. So in this event, the temple is open, and out of the temple, 7 angels come out. You remember that? It was mentioned in Revelation 15. They are all dressed in white, and they have like these golden things in their chest. Now, the only ones who dressed in white in the Old Testament and had these adornments were the priests. So these angels is kind of like a representation of the priests that worship in front of God. Now, in Israel, after the Day of the Atonement happened, what followed the Day of the Atonement was the execution of the judgment. Remember that? The day to Azazel, the goat who was representing the evil, and they placed their hands, and then they bring Azazel outside the temple, outside the city, into a desolate place until he dies. So you find a correlation here between what God is planning to do in the last events before he delivers his judgment. You know, he will come out, he will rescue his people in a very mighty and powerful way. Rescuing them from what? Well, when you read Revelation 7, you find out that the description of the people that is saved in heaven is the, at least the last ones who are here on earth, is described as a group of people who passed through a series of tribulations that nobody has experienced before. So that experience kind of like make them different than anyone else. Can you see the son of Moses and the Lamb? Well, it depends. In order to be able to sing the son of Moses and the Lamb, because no one knows the lyrics of this song, you have to be able to be part of that group. It's a combination of experience that allows you to be there. And then from that experience, you can burst in worship and glorification to God. Meaning that unless you pass through that experience, you won't be able to be singing there, that song. It's like the people in Israel, they were able to sing the song because they were the ones who were being persecuted. They were the ones who experienced the sentence to death. They were the ones who experienced how God, in an amazing way, finally delivered them from all these dangerous sins. So, in order to worship God, you need to keep in mind there are several reasons to worship. Let's go to Revelation 15 really quick, because I want to read a few portions here that I think they are important. Now, you probably noticed in your Bibles, at least in mine, that some of these verses have different structure because it seems that they belong to a hymn, to a song, right? So they put it like in a special way. And they all begins in verse number 3. And the first sentence of these songs is, "Great and marvelous are your works." These people are saying that to whom? To God. Lord God Almighty. What are the works that God had done for the people? Remember, creation is one of them, right? They remember that God is the creator. God is the one who gives life to everything. Not only God is the creator, but God sustains everything that is alive. God is the one who provides for you and provides for me. And when you realize that, then you have gratitude in your heart and you can say, "Thank you, Lord, for providing for us." It is interesting that we can become so self-centered that in occasions we forget to say thank you for the many blessings that we get from God, right? Life is one of them. It's an amazing gift that it can be finished in any moment for us, right? Because we had limited amount of time here. We had a provision of sustenance. We have protection. Many things that God continue giving us in this country and in this community, they are amazing. Last week, I had the opportunity to be here in Aiken, one of the biggest Baptist churches in town. And the reason that I go there is because Ann sent me an invitation about an FBI program for communities of faith. And this FBI program was in response to what happened in Charleston a few weeks ago. Because society is now realizing that some people don't even respect churches. And the FBI agent was very curious and very informative. And one of the things that he continued presenting was that churches are safe. It's still one of the most safest places in the country. But bad things can happen in churches too. Don't think for a moment because you are in a church that nothing bad can happen to you. You remember that you have an enemy that wants to destroy you. Amen? You need to be aware of that. Because the moment that you remember that you have an enemy that wants to destroy you, that made you move closer to God. The closest we get to God, at least the safest we will feel. Now, the FBI was presenting, and among the things they were saying is, churches are very vulnerable places because never lock the church's door. If you walk right now, you will notice that the only exit in this church is open and locked. So anyone can enter here, right? If somebody enter here at this moment and start shooting us, it will do a lot of damage. Because that's the main door right there. Second, because we are not really fast, right? So they were saying the only safe way pretty much to be in a church. If something like that happened, you need to stay away from the one who is shooting. Well, that's more simple to say than to do, right? If somebody enter here and you don't want to get hurt, well, you shouldn't be here in the first place. Like, great, you know, I got bad news right there. Well, in reality, that's what the authorities are telling you. If somebody in your workplace or in a place of worship starts shooting, you should move away from that person. Run. Find a place where you can hide. Stay where he cannot see you. The other thing that he was mentioning is that normally the person who entered the church doesn't persecute people outside the building. So if you get outside the building, the chances for your survival are greater. Why I mention these things to you? Because I feel that the closer we get to the second coming, things will get worse and worse in this planet. In the spiritual sense, things will get worse. People will start losing faith. In the society, people will start behaving in ways that you cannot make sense, that ways that we cannot comprehend. So the people in Revelation 15 are singing to God because they realize that God is the creator, the one who finally gives you life and the one who finally can protect you. Because it doesn't matter what you do to protect yourself, eventually we all depend on God for protection. The FBI agent was saying that in churches today, you find members who carry weapons with a legal concealed permit. And if you are one of them, I need to talk to you. Don't mention that in public right now, but I need to talk to you. But he said that if you are one of these persons and you think because you have a weapon that you can stop the shooter, you are mistaken. Chances are that you will get hurt or that you can hurt someone else. People under distress and under pressure, most of the time, they feel between... He was speaking of police officers when they are in very stressful situations. They miss targets between 60 to 70% of the times. And he was speaking of professionals who use guns every day and that they train for this. Not someone like me or like you that we don't do that. So if you are under a lot of distress and you have a gun and you think because you have a gun that you can stab somebody, think twice. Right? You can hurt somebody really bad. And so in reality, the solution at the end of the whole seminar is prevention. Have a plan. Avoid the person. Run. If you can, stay away from that human being that is trying to hurt you. But he said at the end, if nothing of that works, then between some of you, you need to try to hold the person before he continues hurting more people. You know, you remember when in 9/11, this group of passengers in an airplane finally grabbed one of the terrorists in the airplane and they subdued him to the point that they take control of the situation. But you know the end of the story, right? The plane crashed, and they die, all die. But because they made this huge sacrifice, they saved a lot of people's life. And so it's not a winning situation at the end, pretty much. Something like this is what you have here in Revelation. They are noticing that the end is close. The enemies are getting closer. And in response to this danger, what they do is start worshiping God, acknowledging his creating power. The other thing that caught my attention from Revelation 15 is this. Continue reading with me. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. So God is a holy one. God will protect us, and God eventually will deliver us. For all nations come to you and worship before you, for your judgment has been manifested. So two more thoughts that I want to share with you here. Number one is in reference to all nations coming in front of God. And we all know that eventually, one day, we will get to judgment. It doesn't matter if you believe or not in God, you will be judged eventually. And you will be forced to acknowledge God as a God and judge or to reject him, whatever the choice it is that you want to make. The other thing that I think is interesting is in reference to the judgments that God is presenting. God is presenting, giving these inhabitants of the planet the judgments of the last plagues as a response for their corruption, for the evil doing, for the bad behavior. So they are saying that God is just when He even destroys people. Some people will argue against you and say, no, how is that? You know, how God can be judged? Well, because He is the sustainer of life. He's the one who's providing life. He can take it away again. So the Lord is merciful, the Lord is just, and He will be judge every person according to their deeds. And that gives us a little confidence, right? Because the Bible tells us if we commit sin, what we need to do is get close to Jesus Christ and He will forgive us for our sins. Are you feeling lately attacked by the enemy? Are you lately feel in distress that the problems that you are having are becoming so overwhelming? What do you do when you feel like that? When you feel really sad, what you will do? Well, according to Revelation 15, one of the most beautiful things that you can do is you can praise and sing to the Lord. The other day when I was coming from Hilton Head, and I remembered you. Because passing through the country, I saw a small church, and the sign in front of the church is making a noise. Remember that sentence that you make a noise for the Lord? Joyful noise. And I feel the same way. I don't have the talent to sing, but I enjoy singing. So I had to be discreet, right? Lower the volume of the microphone. And for you who had a beautiful voice that day, we enjoy hearing you. But this is the actions that the people that will experience the last events on earth will do. It's an act of worship. In response to Revelation 13, when the enemy will force everyone to worship him, the faithful ones will worship God. And that's the call for you, and that's the call for me. If you feel sad, we can sin, right? If you feel in distress, you can sin. If you feel tempted, you can continue singing. So may the Lord give you strength and wisdom and encouragement through the daily life, that the moment that you are passing through right now. Amen? Our Heavenly Father, again, with song, with music, with prayers, we worship you today. Asking you, O Lord, to continue being present in our lives and in our church. I ask you, O Lord, for the members who are absent for sickness and for physical problems, that you can be with them. In Jesus' name, we ask you for your company. Amen.